Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you again to this episode tonight, I am bubbling over with joy because tonight we will continue our study from the book of Luke. And remember, this study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. And it also presents his allegory of the Son of God and gives to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to the end of his life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in the book written by Luke. Now, as I always do, I'm reminding you that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible, and I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we'll have what we consider a commercial break. And during this time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, and I cannot deny, to give the thanks to those who are that have given time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you so very much, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul rejoice in the good of his labor. This also I say that it was from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 is where you find this promise. And the promise is that from the hand of God, if you respond accordingly, should and drink and enjoy the good labor. God said through King Solomon, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And the promise is good health. But of course, you have to not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God said through King David, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That is in Psalms 119, verse 9. And the promise is that you will have a clean bill of health if you respond to the word of God. Now, before we start the lesson, I want all of you to know that the Bible is coded, meaning mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. We're going to go to instruction number 22 of 84 in this series that I'm teaching about Luke. And we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 2 through 9. We are looking at the text, Luke chapter 7, verse 2 through 9. And this is the instruction that we will be drawing from. As I read the text, Luke chapter 7, verse 2 through 9, keep this instruction in mind. Faith is the main authority. Again, instruction is faith is the main authority. And this is what Luke, the writer, has to say about it in chapter 7, verse 2 through 9. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto his master was sick and ready to die. And when this came to Jesus, he said unto the elders of the Jew, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy, meaning the centurion, for whom he should do this thing. For he loveth our nation, the Jews said, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to another servant, do this, and he does it then. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This story is telling us that the centurion, not even being Christian or not being a follower of Jesus, who knew what authority meant in the civilian world, had enough belief that Jesus, because of what he had been doing and he heard about Jesus, had more authority or had spiritual authority to heal his servant. Now, what we're going to do is see what our complement, the Old Testament, says about this. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to read verse 2. Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to see what Solomon has to say about this in verse 2. This is what Solomon says about authority. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That tells us exactly what's going on in the world today, my precious brothers and sisters, that the authority, civilly, if it's not righteous, it will make the people mourn because it will bear a wicked rule. Now, righteousness is faith. Remember when God told Abraham, because Abraham believed in God, God assigned it to Abraham as righteousness. Now, what we want to do is look at what this instruction means spiritually in our lives. And this is what it means, that faith is so important to God that he made it both a gift and a fruit of the Holy Ghost. That's how significant faith is. We know that faith without works is dead. We know that we gain the victory over this world through faith. And we know that it is impossible to please God without it. So that is the instruction that I'm trying to get to you in the meaning of this instruction, that faith is the main authority. Okay, let's go now to instruction number 23. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 7, and we're going after the break.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go to instruction number 23, and we're going to be reading from the Bible, Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw upon from the text that we will be reading in Luke. The instruction is, blessed is he that is not offended in me. That's the instruction we want to focus on as we read the text. Blessed is he that is in me, or blessed is he that is not offended in me. And this is what Luke says about it. In Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through 23, it reads, "And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? When the men were come unto him, they said," meaning John's disciples, "said that John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many they that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." So what Jesus was telling the disciples of John the Baptist is that these good things that he was doing, is going to be, it should be acceptable in the world. And if it's not, that's the blessing. Hopefully those, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the high priests, all of those who are offended by these good deeds or will not get the blessing. Now let's go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to our compliment, and we're going to go to the book of Isaiah and see how Isaiah refers to or at least infers a connection to what the instruction says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 9 through 11, or 9 and 10. And this is what Isaiah said. And keep in mind, this is the prophet Isaiah pointing to Jesus Christ in the future. This is what Isaiah says. And he said, meaning God told Isaiah, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Now, here is where the blessing is not meant for those who cannot receive spirituality. Verse 10 says, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. That is key, my precious brothers and sisters. That is the blessing that you receive, or you will receive the offense. You must be converted and healed in order to receive the blessing that God gives you through Jesus Christ. Now, let us go now and see, or I'm going to explain now what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if you follow the precepts of the Bible, then what King Solomon said will come to fruition when the ways of man pleases God. Now, remember, Solomon all said this, God makes even your enemies be at peace with you if your ways pleases him. So that is significant. And to be converted and healed means that in Psalms 119, the psalmist King David, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So that's what converts the soul, the law of God. And then to be healed. And we know that, again, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 tells us, and with his stripes we are healed, talking about the Messiah. So you got to have God and you got to have Jesus. And that is how you are not going to be offended. And that's the blessing that you receive from this instruction. All right. If you want to comment, please, if you're in the chat room, go to the host and give him that information, or you can text me, or you can email me. All right. Let's go to instruction number 24. The text, again, we're going to be in the book of Luke. We're going to stay in chapter 7, and we're going to go to verse 24 through 30. And that's Luke chapter 24, verse 30. And this is the instruction. As we read the text, keep this in mind. This is what we're gleaning from the text reading. This is the instruction. What kind of handout are you looking for? All right? From God. What kind of handout are we looking for? All right, this is what the text says in Luke chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. It says, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John the Baptist. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delectably in king's courts, ye out to see. A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all of the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them, being not baptized of him. Now that tells us, what kind of handout are you looking for? If you're not looking to Jesus Christ, then you lose. Now what we're going to do is go to our compliment. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to be reading verse 22 in Isaiah chapter 25, and we're going to see what Isaiah the prophet says about this handout that we're talking about, we should be looking for. Verse 22 says this: "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." So what Isaiah prophesied is that we should be looking unto God for salvation. And we know that salvation is through Jesus Christ. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that spiritually, salvation is the only thing that has eternal value this side of heaven. And that should be the ultimate that we reach, is that salvation. So that's the instruction and what it means to us, it should mean to us spiritually, that we have to be godly minded and not worldly minded. Remember, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you." Don't reverse that, my precious brothers and sisters, like so many have, that they look to godly gain instead of, they look to worldly gain instead of godly gain. So that's what this instruction should mean to us. Now let's go to instruction number 25, and we're going to go back to the Gospel of Luke, verse 31 through 35, and this is the Gospel of Luke, verse after the break.
If you're tired of starting over, stop giving up.
Here's the deal. I can do anything, be anything, create anything, dream anything, become anything.
My dad always says, "You are what you do, not what you say." Well, you grown-ups say you love us, but I challenge you, please, make your actions reflect your words.
If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. If you don't, you just keep practicing.
I like my pajamas. I like my stuff. I like my room. I like my whole house. My whole house is great. I can do anything good. I can do anything. I just want everything to be good as possible. Nothing else.
You better not give up on us. No, you better not. Because, as you know, in some cases, you're all we've got.
And if I can be nice, I think all of us can be nice too.
This is your turn. Now go out there and take it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go one more time. We're on instruction number 25, and we are reading from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 31 through 35. That's Luke chapter 7, verse 31 through 35. And this is the instruction that we want to draw from the reading of the text. What the Lord God sees in man. Okay? What does the Lord God see in man? That is the instruction we want to keep in mind as we read. And this is what the text says. And the Lord says, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans, and a sinner. But wisdom is justified of all of her children. And this, of course, is a parable, but this is what God sees in man. He sees the worldliness, the wickedness, and this is not the wisdom from heaven. This is the wisdom from the world, and that is not acceptable to God. Remember when James in chapter 2 of his book said, the wisdom from above is first pure and then gentle and patience. He said it is partial, and it is several other attributes, meaning righteous. And he also identified the wisdom from below, which is worldly and sensuous, and it is evil. And he says, wherever there is confusion and strife, there is all evil and every working thing that is evil. So that is the differential between the two. That's what wisdom is doing, justifying us. And now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament, our complement, and see how it was pointed to by Ezekiel, the prophet. And Ezekiel said in chapter 33, verse 11, this: say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? So this prophecy was pointing at Israel, indirectly pointing at all of us, that God does not desire for any of us to fall. So what the Lord God sees in man is wickedness, unless he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that because we are made in the image and likeness of God, we have been sent a Savior to save that image and likeness. That is so critical, my precious brothers and sisters, because God is not going to save the flesh. The flesh is doomed back to dust, but God is going to save his image and likeness, and that is his spirit. So that is what the Lord God sees in man. He sees either the worldliness, the wickedness, or he sees the godliness, the Jesusness. And that's what we need for him to see. And you cannot see that unless you have Jesus Christ, or that will not be seen unless Jesus Christ is alive and well in your life. Okay? Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 26, and we're going to be back in the book of Luke. We're going to be reading verse 40 through 48 in the book of Luke, and we're going to look at or take from this reading this instruction. He that loves more does more. That's the instruction we want to look at. He that loves more does more. And we know that love is essential. This is what the text says, verse 40. And Jesus answering unto him said, or Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And Simon said to Jesus, Master, say on. Jesus said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, they didn't have anything to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Then Jesus said to Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. And then he said to Simon, look here, see thou this woman? I entered unto your house, Simon. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou, Simon, gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, Simon, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, this is significant, but what I'd like to just share quickly with you, that this woman was Lazarus' sister, Martha. If you remember the story of Martha and Mary, where Martha went to the feet of Jesus and Mary complained, but Jesus told Mary that Martha received more because she was at the feet of Jesus. And this is the woman that actually did this. Now, what we want to do is now go to our complement. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. And what we're going to see is what the Old Testament says about this. This is what the King Solomon said. Hate stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. My brothers and sisters, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world. Guess what? Love covereth all sins. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be careful not to lose the breath of life God gave to us, saying, and let me reread this, that we must be careful not to lose the breath of life God gave us by sinning unto death and losing our souls. Remember, God, he breathed into the body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So this love is life, and sin covers all of that. This is what I'm trying to share with you, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the 27th instruction. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. And this is what we want to glean from the reading of this instruction. Here is the instruction. A sower sowed seed, and it fell on good ground, it fell on bad ground, it fell among the rocks, and it fell among the thorns. That is the instruction. A sower sowed seed, and it fell on good ground, it fell on bad ground, it fell among the rocks, and it fell among the thorns. And of course, we know, and we will find out from the reading of Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15, that this seed is the word of God, which is life. And this is what the text says. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. This is Jesus speaking. A sower went out to sow his seed. That was the word of God. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowl of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Jesus said, and when he had said these things, Jesus cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. This is very significant, because the word of God has fallen upon all of us. It is more than audible, my brothers and sisters. It is spiritual, and we'll complete after the...
Faith is the currency of heaven. It's what it is to heaven, what money is to earth. It's what God uses to transact business. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. God said, I know you're not righteous, but if you believe me, I'll take the faith and give you righteousness that you did not earn. I'll impute righteousness unto you. I'll impart righteousness unto you. It's an exchange because you believe. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed on the only begotten Son. So if I were Satan, if I set out to destroy you, if I set out to kill you, I wouldn't spend a lot of energy fighting your morality, fighting your mentality, fighting your anxiety. I would come against your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. No matter how talented you are, if you don't believe him, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to work for God if you don't believe him. It's impossible to build a ministry if you don't believe. It's impossible to preach if you don't believe. If you don't believe God, you can't do business with God, because faith is the currency of heaven. It is the substance of the thing I hope for. It is the evidence of things I don't see. It's the currency. You get it? It's exchange. Like money, I can't eat it. Money, I can't sleep in it. Money, I can't live under it. But I can give it in exchange. Goods and substances, it's written on it. It's an exchange medium. Faith is an exchange medium. So if I was Satan and I wanted to bankrupt you, it wouldn't be enough to take your money. If I take your faith, I've left you bankrupt. If I take your faith, I've left you poverty stricken. If I take your faith, you got nothing to buy with. If I take faith, prayer don't have a leg to stand on. If I take faith, you can't have no peace. If I take faith, you can't have no joy. If I take faith, you can't have no victory. If I take faith, you don't have no power. If I take faith, you don't have no confidence. If I take faith, you don't have no boldness. If I have faith, you don't have no conviction. If I take your faith, you don't have no trust. If I take your faith, you don't have no comfort when you're grieving. If I take your faith, you're powerless, impotent, weak, incapable, irreconcilable difference. Your lack of faith insults God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're in the instruction 27, a sower sowed seed, and it fell on bad ground, good ground, among the rocks and among the thorns. And we just read how Jesus delivered this parable, and what he was talking about was that the seed, the word of life, is being sowed into all of us, because we are living beings. Every creation that God, every human creation, God has made in his image and likeness. So within that creation, all of these things are occurring. Now, this was not understood readily. And when we continue in verse 9, we'll see even his apostles, his disciples, had to have more information about this. And this is what they said, or in verse 9, this is what it says. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Remember, we already identified in the book of Isaiah, a chapter, I forget the chapter, but it was verse 9 and 10, where it told that you had to be converted and healed. Okay, if you're converted and healed, you will get to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And this is what he continued. Jesus continued to tell his apostles and disciples. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this world, bringing no fruit to perfection. But that that falls on good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is what the answer Jesus gave his disciples to tell them about the word of God. So this is why it is so important for us to plant and water and to share the word of God with as many as we meet and greet. Remember what Jesus did before he ascended into heaven. He gave the instruction, the commission to all of us that we go and preach and teach and baptize in his name. All right, let us now go to the covenant or the complement, the Old Testament complement, and let us, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and we're going to see how this Old Testament points to what we're just talking about, this word of God being the life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, this is what it says. And the Lord God formed man, that's all of us, all of humanity, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into them, their nostrils, the breath of life, and mankind became a living soul. So this is the connection, that we all have access to this seed that has been planted, this word of God, this life, but not all of us are responding well to it. Now, this is what this should mean spiritually in our lives, that we must be careful not to lose the breath of life God gave to us by sinning unto death and losing our souls. Thank God for repentance and faithfulness through his son, Jesus Christ. This is the only way that we understand to salvation. Of course, we know God can do whatever God says, because God told us that he will be merciful unto them. He will be, have mercy, and he will be gracious unto them that will he have grace. But we know from the written word that we must follow the direction of the commandments. And the direction of the commandments, God said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that's Jesus Christ. So that's the instruction that we should be following to get our salvation secured. Now, let us go to the next instruction. Instruction number 28. We're going back to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. We're going to go to chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verse 23 through 26. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the text that we're reading. Follow this instruction. This is how you follow Jesus. Okay. This is critical to us, my precious brothers and sisters. This is how you follow Jesus. And this is what the text says. And he said to them all, that's Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, this is critical, okay? Verse 24 says, for whosoever will lose his life physically shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life physically for my sake shall save his life spiritually. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father and his holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And we already know from studies in the Old Testament that Enoch walked with God and he was no more. We know that Elijah went up into heaven in a flaming chariot. So that is significant for us to know. Jesus just said there are more that will not see that death. But of course, that was in the old dispensation. And we should take heed to what this instruction is telling us. This is how you follow Jesus. And this is what, again, in verse 23 tells us, that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. My brothers and sisters, the Old Testament tells us that we should cast our burdens upon the Lord God Almighty. That's in Psalms 22, or 55, verse 22. For he will always sustain the righteous. He will never let the righteous be moved. So that is how we should deny ourselves and pick up our cross, by casting that upon Jesus. All right? And so Jesus, again, in this tells us that what profit hath a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And what would a man give in replace for his soul? And we know that in the Old Testament, King Solomon told us that it is vanity of vanities. What profit hath a man if in all of his labor, it is vanity? And that labor meaning physical labor for worldliness. We're talking about godliness. Now let us go to, after the break, we'll continue.
Whole Bible is a love story. It's God's love affair with the human race. You see, God has all those billions of planets out there, all those hundreds of billions of stars, and it's all God's. But of all the planets in the whole universe stands in awe at the love that God showers on this little planet called the Earth. And I imagine the people who live on other planets wonder why God doesn't sweep this planet of rebellion out into oblivion. We're the only planet, insofar as I know, that are in rebellion against God, and yet in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our disobedience, in spite of our sins, God loves us. That's the thrilling thing about it. And God loves every person in the whole world with a love that is beyond our comprehension. And God proved his love by giving his Son on the cross. If you ever doubt that God loves, look at the cross, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's the greatest illustration of love in the whole world, is the cross, because God is saying from the cross, I love you, I love you, I love you. You and I were saved by the cross. Our Lord loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die on that cross. Now, love is not feeling. You say, I feel I love him. It's not feeling. Love is doing. Love is a verb. God did something. God gave his love. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle John, looking at that cross, said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And when you look at that cross and think about it, that the Romans used the instrument of execution on a colossal scale, and they put nails in the hands and spikes in the feet and spat on the people and mutilated the bodies, broke their legs to help them die quicker, and all sorts of terrible things. The most cruel death in the whole world is the death of the cross. And our Lord was hanging there with the mocking crowd making fun of him, and he hung there for you. God was saying, I love you. Jesus laid down his life for us. And that's the reason the scripture says there's no other way to heaven. You can't be saved any other way. You cannot find life with a capital L any other way. You cannot gain entrance to the kingdom of heaven without coming to the cross. Because if God could have found another way, he would have found it. It's God's love. It's so deep and so wide and so high and so great, and has such dimensions to it that no words in any language can describe. It's a love that God has for you, that in spite of the fact that you were rebelling against Him, in spite of the fact that you were a sinner, in spite of the fact that you broke His laws, He gave His Son to shed His blood. In spite of everything we've ever done, God loves. And words cannot describe it. From this moment on, I want Him to be in control of my life. I want Him to sit in the cockpit of my life and run it and direct it. I turn my life over to Him.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at instruction number 28, and this is how you follow Jesus. We've already read what Luke said about it in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. Let me add to that a little amplification. Let us go to verse 60. And verse 60 says, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. This is another way. Again, the Great Commission. This is how you follow Jesus, preaching the word of God. And then we'll add more amplification. In verse 62, it says, Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So the thing is said that we cannot reminisce over those things that we lose in this world because of the godliness we gain from following Jesus Christ. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. That's where we want to go. Turn your Bible sources to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And this is going to be pointing to what we just learned about how to follow Jesus. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So, again, this is how we follow Jesus Christ. We have to obey his commandments. We have to follow his words. And this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if we keep the commandments of Jesus, then we succeed. For Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And again, he said further in John chapter 14, verse 23, if you love me and keep my words, the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. The indwelling, the unction, the Godhead, the fullness of the body. So many Christians have not been born again. They are lacking. So many Christians have been born again, but do not have the indwelling. That is what makes us complete. And that is how you follow Jesus. And of course, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth gives you all of the Beatitudes, gives you all of the parables, gives you all of the allegories that Jesus used. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. All of that is real in our accomplishing and applying what we need to follow Jesus. So that is the instructions that we should take to heart for this one that says this is how we follow Jesus. Now, what I'd like to do now is give you a drill to follow, or to give you an understanding of what not to do. In other words, by avoiding what I'm getting ready to share with you, you will be following Jesus. All right? Now, these are the enemies of mankind. Remember, Jesus says that the thief cometh but to kill and to destroy and to steal. But I've come to give you life. And if I give you life, I will give you life more abundantly. Now, that life, or that thief that he is talking about, is a culmination of enemies of mankind. It is not just the devil. It is a culmination of enemies. And I'll tell you, the devil has also been caught up in this thefdom, if you will. These are the thieves that we are looking at. There are nine that I am describing. The first one is sin. The second one is the knowledge of good and evil. The third is the evil workings of the flesh and the spirit. The fourth is the curses of the Garden of Eden. The fifth is the flesh. The sixth is the devil. The seventh is ungodly men. The eighth is death. And the ninth is hell. So quickly I'll reread them, meaning that there are nine thieves, nine enemies of mankind. Sin, the knowledge of good and evil, the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, the curses of the Garden of Eden, the flesh, the devil, ungodly men, death, and hell. Those are the nine. And what I'd like to say before we go any further is, if you realize that number six is the devil, we give too much credence to the devil. We should realize that the knowledge of good and evil, the culprit, the evil workings of the flesh, his partner, those are the two that have elevated themselves to number one. And the reason I say they've elevated themselves to number one is because we know that Jesus Christ came and gave his life on the cross at Mount Calvary to remove sin from our lives. So sin is no longer number one. Number one today is the knowledge of good and evil, coupled with the evil workings of the flesh and the spirit. They're a tandem duo. And the devil has been circumvented, if you will, by sin, by the knowledge of good and evil, and by the evil workings of the spirit, and by the curse of the Garden of Eden. So all of those have impacted the devil. So what I'm trying to share with you is a drill that is going to help us to follow Jesus Christ. And those nine are the nine that I'm going to go into more detail in our next or in future sessions that we have. But right now I will conclude with that. And I'm seeing our time is short. So before we close, I will just reiterate or review what we have learned today. That instruction number 22 tells us how important faith is. And we know it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, that's faith, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is critical in our application in Christianity. The instruction number 23 tells us to follow the precepts of the Bible, and then we shall become fruitious, or we will become better. We will become saved in the bottom line. Number 24 tells us that we have to be.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
As we say goodnight to all of our listeners out there, please remember this. This is what Jesus says. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.